Father, be with us now. Help us to understand your word, to be challenged by it, to be encouraged by it. And help us to apply it to our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Before I moved to Australia as an 18-year-old, as some of you know, I grew up in South Africa. Rugby union was important to me. All my relationships revolved around it and pointed to it. Society loved rugby. My grandfather loved rugby. My dad loved rugby. My brother loved rugby. And so following their example, I had a rugby ball in my hands before I could walk. My dad was a rugby coach, and his team won on the week that I was born. From 5 years of age, I played in a rugby team. I went on to represent my province and played in my school's first 15, which was ranked second in South Africa at the time. I had friends I played with who went on to play for our country. We trained 3 times a week. In winter, Saturday was solely taken up by rugby. Our conversations around the breakfast table were about rugby. Our conversations in the car to school were about rugby. Our conversations at school were about rugby. Our conversations around the supper table were about rugby. From a very young age, I dreamt of wearing the true green and gold. We basically spoke, dreamt, and lived rugby. Even my girlfriend at the time was expected to watch my rugby games. Even relationships of love had to be relationships of commitment to rugby. You see, in all the relationships in my life, before I met Jesus, I pointed myself and others to rugby. Membership in our society, the society I grew up in, was expressed through concrete relationships in space and time. The space was the rugby field. The time was Saturday, 3:30 p.m., kickoff time. We were bound together because of our relationship to rugby and our deep love for the game. We'll hopefully see today that church membership is not merely an identity that all Christians in the world invisibly share, but something that is also, dare I say it, a little like rugby, that it is expressed through concrete relationships in space and time with each other. However, that is where the similarity between rugby membership and church membership ends. Unlike my old life, as pointed out by Jim last week, church is a group of people bound together because of their relationship for the one true and living God. And only through Jesus Christ and what he has done for us at the cross. Christians gather in a particular space at a particular time. The local congregation is in essence one of the fundamental expressions of the relationship the believer has with God through Jesus. Today we are going to focus in on 2 aspects of this expression of church at the local level. Firstly, relationships of love shown through the John 13 passage. And secondly, relationships of commitment shown through the Hebrews 10 passage. In my old life, I lived in relation to others, represented what it meant to be a true follower of what we called the game played in heaven, rugby. How much more should the way I live in relation to others now, represent what it means to be the true follower of Christ, the King of heaven? What should relationships with others look like? What should relationships that point to Jesus truly look like? Especially, in our local church on Sunday mornings, at Tom's, Cranbrook, and the following 6 days of the week. Well, let's have a look at God's word to answer this. And it is my hope that we'll all be encouraged and challenged. Please have your Bibles open at John chapter 13, verse 31. And you should also have received an outline. So let's get into it. Relationships of love. John 13, 31 to 33 says, "When he was gone, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. if God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. Jesus, yeah, in John's gospel is going to the cross. Yeah, the idea of glory includes a reference to Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross and the glorious salvation that would result from that. The first thing to note of relationships that point to Jesus in our local congregation is that they should point to God's relationship of love. That is, as Romans chapter 5, verse 8 puts it, they should point to God's love for us in this. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In all your relationships here at Tom's, are you pointing others and yourself to God's love for us? Are we pointing each other to the cross? In fact, John chapter 13, verse 34, we are commanded by Jesus in our relationships to point each other to Christ's love. A new command I give you, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. How has Jesus loved us? By laying down his life for us. And why should we love one another? By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So what should I expect from relationships at church? Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Our standard to meet in loving each other is Christ's standard of love for us, shown in his sacrificial death for us at the cross. On my recent trip to Fiji, I was reminded of the commitment I am to have for my wife, Lauren, through the reading of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Well, girls, if you're trying to work out whether a man you are dating is worth marrying, ask him the question, are you willing to die for me? Yes, our relationships should be relationships of love that are shown through the willingness to lay down one's life for each other. However, please note the example of Peter shown in the verses that follow. Verses 36 to 38 of John 13 say, Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times. At this time, Peter would not lay down his life for Jesus. In fact, deny him three times. But we do know that he would later. Yes, Peter was crucified for Jesus. In fact, history tells us he was crucified upside down. However, there is a big difference between Jesus' death and Peter's death. And I think it is very important to note the difference. The hint of the difference was earlier in verse 33. Did you see it? Did you pick it up? Verse 33, Jesus told his disciples, where I am going, you cannot come. Please note, Jesus points Peter to the cross. He points his disciples to the cross. He points them to where he himself, where no one else could go, where Jesus alone took on the wrath of God the Father to bring those who trust in him into relationship with the God of the universe. At the cross is where, if you trust in Jesus, He took all your sin, past, present, and future. He took it on His shoulders so that we could have the gift of eternal life. Only Jesus could do that, and He points us there. In our relationships here, are we pointing each other to the cross? Are we pointing each other to that one and only sacrifice for sins, Jesus' sacrifice? Loving one another here at Tom's Cranbrook, are we loving each other as Jesus has loved us? Are we pointing each other to the cross? We should be making sacrifices in our relationships to point each other to what Christ has done for us. The ultimate outworking of a relationship of love is to point people to the cross, especially pointing our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, yeah, to the cross. As a church, as a group of people bound by our relationship with God through Jesus, Yarra Toms, we need to be doing this. In fact, we have been commanded to do it. If someone walked off the street and came into our morning service, or walked into one of our Bible studies in the week, or saw us working at Tom's at the carol service, how would they know that we are disciples of Jesus? By the way we love each other. By our relationships that point to Jesus. Are our relationships here doing that? Or are we pointing elsewhere? Are we making sacrifices for the gospel to build each other up in it and to point each other to it? Or are we more worried about the rugby score or our next holiday? In all, loving our brothers and sisters, yeah, in practice, means pointing each other to Jesus, not pointing each other to rugby or the latest gadget or holiday, but to Jesus. I know a man who has been able to go on 7 short-term missions in the last 9 years, to go and encourage believers and non-believers, to point them to the cross. How has he been able to do that, other than God enabling him to? Behind the scenes. His wife. And I know she's going to be embarrassed by this. His wife wants others to be pointed to Jesus. So she has been the one to make sacrifices. Financial sacrifices and the loss of quality time with her husband to allow him to share the gospel with others. Her relationship with her husband points him and others to the cross, to Jesus' sacrifice. Are we willing to make sacrifices in our relationships here to point each other to the cross? Are we forgiving each other as Christ forgives here? Are we sharing our comforts, the possessions we have, or should I say the possessions God has given us? Are we sharing them with others here? Are we investing time to talk with each other about Jesus? Are we investing time in reading God's word with each other? And I know we need to ask God's help to do these. We need to ask God often. In everything, yeah, are we pointing each other to Jesus? Are we pointing each other to the cross? The relationships that point to Jesus are relationships of love. Please note, Jesus did not just lay down his life for us and then leave us. No, far from it. He is committed to be by our side, even carrying us when life is unbearable. Jesus demonstrates not only the ultimate relationship of love, but also the ultimate relationship of commitment. That was unlike me when I was a 6-year-old. You see, I supported the Blue Bulls rugby team. I supported them because of their fly half, Nice Buerter. He was the best goal kicker of all time. However, when I was 14, Nicewater was not there anymore. He had retired. Other teams were winning the Currie Cup rugby competition, and so I switched sides. I now supported the Natal Sharks, not the Blue Bulls. And the way they went on the weekend, I don't know whether I should be supporting the Natal Sharks. My commitment to the Blue Bulls was not a commitment at all. When the going got tough, I switched allegiance. God's commitment to us is not like that at all. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 23 reminds us of God's commitment to us. We have confidence. We have confidence to enter the most holy place, that is to have a relationship with the Creator God and to meet with Him anytime, anywhere. Why? Well, only by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, through His death on the cross. We have been and are forever cleansed from a guilty conscience, with our bodies washed with pure water. How? Only through Jesus' sacrificial death. God is committed to us. Jesus' death on the cross and His resurrection clearly show us that. Romans 4:25, He was delivered over to death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. How else do we know this? Hebrews 10:23 tells us, for He who promised is faithful. He is with us every step of the way. He has given us His Holy Spirit to help us every step of the way in pointing each other to Jesus for His glory. God shows us a relationship of commitment. We gather here in this particular congregation as the fundamental expression of church, the expression of God's love for us, and the expression of God's commitment to us. The relationships that point to Jesus are not only to be relationships of love, but also to be relationships of commitment. Commitment to God and commitment to each other, here at Tom's Morning Church. We are called to be committed to God in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 to 23, which say, draw near to God with a sincere heart and hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For He who promised is faithful. We are called to be committed to God, and we are called to be committed to each other. Hebrews 10:24 to 25 urges us, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. These verses out of Hebrews are a rebuke to all who say or think the following: I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be committed to a single congregation. I think it's okay to regularly miss church because my favorite team is playing. I think it's okay to church hop. By church hopping, I'm not meaning when one is looking for a new church in a new area, but rather the concept of people leaving one church when they find the doctrine hard to swallow, or when they simply go from church to church whenever they feel like it, or whenever it is convenient for them, thus showing no commitment to a specific congregation. No, we are called here in Hebrews to not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, the day when our Lord will return to judge. How do we point each other to Jesus? by not giving up meeting together. Meeting together around God's word and by encouraging each other in a relationship with Jesus. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are called to be committed to one another. We should be making church a priority, Bible study a priority, the lives of our brothers and sisters here a priority. Yes, commitment usually means sacrifice. The reality is that the church, this church, is Jesus' church, existing because of him, through him, and for him. The local congregation is an expression of this through concrete, committed relationships with fellow believers. The relationships that point to Jesus are relationships of commitment, reflecting the commitment Jesus has for us. As a church, as a group of people bound by a relationship with God through Jesus, Yarra Toms, we need to be doing this. The Bible is clear. We should be doing this. These relationships consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. To do that, we need to be meeting with one another, and we need to do that regularly. Please note, this passage in Hebrews does end with a warning in verse 26. It says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. If we deliberately keep on sinning, if one deliberately and constantly, defiantly rebels against God, if one keeps rejecting his way to him, that is, if one keeps rejecting Christ's sacrifice for sins at the cross. This is to reject the only sacrifice for sins. There is no other sacrifice left if one rejects this one. This warning must be heeded. And if that is you this morning, that is, if you know the truth, but you're still rejecting God's way to be saved, if you are thinking, I can get to heaven myself, or if you are thinking, I don't need Jesus' death, or if you're simply sitting on the fence and have not yet allowed or asked Jesus into your life, can I urge you? Can I urge you to trust in Jesus, to trust that his death is sufficient for you? In just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. So please choose life for eternity with God before it is too late. We, as a body of believers, must continue to point each other to the knowledge of the truth, pointing each other to that only sacrifice, so that we do not ever forget. This is yet another important reason that our relationships here should be relationships of commitment, pointing each other to the cross. The ultimate outworking of a relationship of commitment is to point people to the cross, especially pointing our brothers and sisters here to the cross. As a church, as a group of people bound by our relationship with God through Jesus, Yarra Toms, we need to be doing this. The Bible is clear. As God's church, we are to be demonstrating relationships of commitment to each other, pointing to Jesus. Who or what are you pointing people to here? To conclude then, it is good to be reminded that church is a group of people bound together because of their relationship with God, only made possible through the blood of Jesus at the cross. We gather here in this particular congregation as the fundamental expression of this relationship with God? Does the way we live in relation to each other, represent what it means to be a true follower of Christ? Are we reflecting Christ's relationship of love for us and his relationship of commitment to us? Are we reflecting these to each other? Are we doing this as a church? In our relationships, in everything we do, say, not do. Are we pointing people? Are we pointing each other to the cross? Are we pointing each other to that one and only sacrifice for sins? The ultimate outworking of a relationship of love and commitment is to point people to the cross, especially pointing our fellow believers, to the cross. And yes, that will be difficult. As Christians, the Bible tells us we are saints who sin. So we need God's help. And so can I encourage you to pray about this and to pray about it often. This congregation, at Tom's morning service in Cranbrook, is Jesus' church, existing because of him, through him, and for him. Are we, as his church, in all our relationships, pointing each other to him? Hebrews chapter 10, 24 to 25 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Jesus says in John chapter 13, 34 to 35, "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Let us go and do that today, this week, forever, all for Christ and for his glory.